I want to remind you of November the 26th. I'm not re-preaching that sermon, but I would encourage you, if you have an extra minute, to go and listen to that sermon again. November 26th is entitled, Let Us. And I shared, it might have been more than one Sunday, I don't remember, but I shared about Hebrews. And so I'd like you to just quickly turn there. We're not going to be more than 5 minutes on this, but I want to just repeat some things from that because the Lord brought it up to me in prayer this week. Hebrews chapter 10, if you don't mind. And you remember the Lord said to me when I was in Barbados, he said, if the congregation will do these things, I can accomplish anything in your church. I can do all my will.
That's right.
I can get everything done that I need to get done. And so I just want to remind you, he showed me this when I was on holiday, and there is a unique way that he has written this. In verse 22 of Hebrews 10, are you there? It says, let us draw near. That was the first let us. What does that speak of? Your intimacy with God, your relationship with the Lord. That's always number one. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What's the next one? Verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. What's it saying? Keep your faith life hot.
Amen.
Keep releasing and exercising your faith intentionally without wavering, for he is faithful. That's promised. Look at verse 24. What's the third one? Let us consider one another. That means think about somebody other than yourself. What are you doing? How do you consider? And to provoke one another to love and good works. Now, how do you do that? Well, it didn't end in verse 24. Read verse 25. Not forsaking. Do you see how there's a colon after the word works?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Meaning this is a statement. Now he's going to explain how to accomplish that statement. We're to consider one another, provoke each other to love and good works.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Verse 25, by not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the bad habit.
Yeah.
Yes,
yes.
Manner means habit. The bad habit of some. But exhorting, encouraging one another when we see each other, and so much the more as you see the day. The day is the great day of the Lord when he raptures the church. The day approaching. Brother, my sister, my brother, my sister, the day is coming. I don't know when it's going to be, but it's not going to be 30 years from now. I can guarantee you that. It's coming. You need to start thinking of your life like you're about to transition.
True.
You're about to have a new home. And there's no mortgage on that home. You're about to see Jesus face to face. You're about to see the Father on his throne. And you're about to see all those beautiful loved ones that have gone before. And there's no hospitals in heaven.
Amen.
And there's no police in heaven.
Glory.
And there's no fire trucks. And there's no taxes.
Amen.
And there's no accountants. Although we love them. And there's no lawyers. Although we somewhat love them. We love them. There's not, none of what we're used to is there.
Yeah.
There's gold everywhere you look.
Amen.
There's glory. There's angels. There's Jesus. When you're walking down the street one day, Elijah will come by and you will say, hey, I think I know who you are. And you'll go, I know who you are.
Yeah.
You do? Well, we all know each other up here. How come you weren't more faithful to Pastor Craig? I think Elijah might say that. He's ornery. My point is that the day's coming. Now watch now. See, if you get me talking about heaven, the whole sermon's gone. In fact, one day the Holy Ghost spoke to Pastor Nancy and said, talk to Pastor Craig. And she talked to me. She spoke to me sternly by the Spirit. And she said, stop meditating on heaven so much. I said, I don't do that. She said, yes, you do. And she said, if you keep meditating, you're going to go home early. Because I would just spend entire days reading about heaven, meditating on heaven, crying, and just thinking, I just want to go there so bad. And she said, if you do that, you're going to go home early. Because your desire is going to overwhelm your mandate for this earth. That's why Paul said, I long to go. I'm a twixt between two. I want to go, but for your sake, I'll stay. But he didn't want to stay. He said, for your sake, I'll stay. I'm telling you, I know what that feels like just a little bit. She said, you better stop meditating on that or you'll go home early. And I said, well, I'm going to keep meditating. I'm just going to. No, because the mandate is important to fulfill. So don't get me talking about heaven. You know, my very first sermon 33 years ago was on heaven. It was the most boring sermon people said they'd ever heard in their life. I gave the dimensions of the New Jerusalem.
Wow.
It tells us how many feet. It tells us it's a cube. And I did the whole dimensions. I did the math. And then I tried to do a diagram of what it looked like. I mean, they said it was the most boring sermon we have ever heard. And it was an hour and 30 minutes. And Pastor Anthony said, "Brother, I know you're called, but you've got a lot of work to do. Because if you ever do that again, that shambles of a message, if you ever do that again, I'll never let you preach for as long as you live, as long as you're under me." So then I shortened it up to 30 minutes, and then the preaching anointing started coming, and then everybody loved it. But my first sermon was on heaven for an hour and a half with dimensions. So just let you know, I'm a nerd and a geek rolled into one, and I love heaven. The day's coming where we're going. Nothing on this earth compares to what we're going to see. But while we're here, we're going to, third, let us, we're going to consider one another by not forsaking gathering. Because the day is coming. And we need to exhort each other. And notice it didn't say that I'm just to exhort you. It said exhort one another. That means when you're just out like a bullet after service. Now, if you have to work, that's fine. But it's okay. Don't steal the cafe. But it's okay to go to the cafe with your money or no money. Don't buy anything. I don't care. But find somebody. How you doing, honey? And you might think, like, I don't really like the way they're dressed today. Find something nice. Your shoes look beautiful. Your hair looks different. But make sure you say in a good way, different. And if you say you're special, don't use quotation marks. Don't say you're special. No, just say you're special to me. Encouraging each other is a big part of the local church. You know, I was standing there after we preached and those 56 saints, they're saints to make all that drive. And they're all fellowshipping, but I noticed one man was, nobody was talking to him. He was all by himself eating. And I won't say his name, but he's a member of our church. And I heard the Holy Ghost say, "Go and exhort him." So I walked up and just gave him a big hug, thanked him, just chatted for a few minutes. He had a big smile on his face when I left. And I thought, that's my job. It's not just to go to people I like. Right. It's to go to people that maybe nobody else is talking to for whatever reason. Yeah. And exhort them. That means encourage them. That means build them up. That means say something pleasant to them. Let them know that they're loved and appreciated. That's a big part. We come for the word, but there's also an emotional thing in church where there's a community where we want to feel connected. We want to have them. We have friends here. And some people, listen, they don't make friends as easy. There's just some personalities that they're more loners. And if you make friends easy, you need to think about that, because the Bible commands you. This is not an option. It's not an option. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the, I'm going to add the word bad, manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you got to come to church more, and you got to exhort each other more as we see this world getting darker, which we do. And as we see, Jesus is going to come and deliver us from this system. Amen. Hallelujah. All the more. Now, the Lord said to me, "Do you remember those let us's?" And I said, "I remember them. Let us, intimacy, draw near. Let us not let our faith go. Let us be close with the brothers." Yes. Are you listening? Yes. One is what would we call intimacy? Another way we could say a prayer life.
Right.
One is a faith life. Yes. And one is a local church life. Which, if you wanted to call it a different slant, that's a unity life, because you're unified with the people that you're running in the company with. Do you understand?
Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes.
And the Lord said, "Now these three elements I told you are such critical elements in their life." And he said, "Now what you've been preaching last Sunday," I preached a little bit different on Philippians 1. He said, "The same three elements," see, I didn't connect the dots. He said that to me this week. He said, "The same three elements that you preached last Sunday are in the Let Us series." He said, "But they're on a little bit of a different slant, but I want you to talk about that, because he gave me these Philippian verses." Do you understand? In Barbados, he gave me Hebrews chapter 10. I'm not thinking, I'm praying like normal, but I'm not waiting on God for sermons. I'm just resting. He came to me. So the congregation's going through a season of pressure.
Yes.
Send a video and encourage them. And then he said, "And when you get back, preach about these three things." So he gave these three things to me. I didn't come up with that theologically. Now, this last week before last, He said, look, open Philippians 1, I want to talk to you. And he gave me these. He said, preach that this Sunday. While I was in India, he said, preach that this Sunday. And then this week, he said, you know what you just preached, what I gave you from Philippians 1 is actually different but similar to what I gave you in November on the Let Us. So I want you to pay attention. God is trying to say something through different scriptures in different ways, but he's trying to get something over to us. Yes. My job is to interpret what he's saying and to try to articulate it to you in a way that you understand. Your job is to not argue and shut your mind down because you think you know everything. But your job is to say, what is God saying? Now, you know what God's saying in your own life. But in terms of corporately, it's my job to interpret what he's saying to the congregation. And it's your job to pray things out. But when I say God is saying this to us, you need to say yes. Not argue and say, well, I don't know about that. That's not unity. That's not submission. Your job is to say, okay, you're the one that he's speaking to because you're the pastor, and I'm praying that you'll hear. And if you're saying God's speaking to us, I agree with you. That means pay attention and live what I'm asking you to live, because I'm not asking you, God's asking you. Are you with me still? So now go back to Philippians chapter 1, and let's have a look at what he said last week. And we're going to look at Philippians. You're okay. You're not too bored, right? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While you're looking for Philippians 1, and just when you get there, just pause. I just want to mention something about the faith thing. You know, Brother Jerry, remember the word he gave for 2024? Yes. Stay in faith.
Yes.
Stay focused on the promises of God, which is the word. Yes. Don't allow anything to distract you.
That's right.
Because distraction will hurt your faith. And he said it's a year of progression, advancement, and promotion where your highest expectations will be fulfilled. Amen. Now, remember Randy came very close to that time for a single Wednesday night only. Yeah. And do you remember what he said? He said, the Lord gave me a word for 24. He said, number one, release your faith actively by meditating on the word.
Yes.
Well, remember Jerry, one of his points was release your faith.
Yes.
He said, walk in the spirit with much praying in tongues and worship. And then he said, and use your authority to bind the devil, because much of what's being hindered is because of the devil.
Yes.
But both of them had similarities in terms of faith.
Yes.
Both emphasized faith. Yes. What did God say to us in November? Draw near. That's your personal faith. You hold fast your confession. That means we've got to get more proficient with faith and how it works.
Yes.
Individually and corporately. And number three, he said, focus on the believers. Consider each other. Don't forsake the gathering of each other. Encourage each other. You see, he's emphasizing his life, your faith life, and the believer's life, the church life. Okay, now have a look at again. Let me just find my notes now, because I'm flipping through multiple sermons. But have a look now, please, with me in the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 19. Are you down at 19? And it says this, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply or the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ Jesus is the Holy Spirit. So your prayer, remember I quoted you last week, James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, we're all righteous in Christ, produces much power, makes much power available. Amplified says dynamic in its working. So when we pray, power is made available. Do you understand? When I'm praying for a backslidden believer, I can't overcome their will.
No.
That's witchcraft. I won't overcome their will. Like, let me give you an example. I'm praying for my son because he's got some different ideas about life than I do. And it's okay because I have the victory.
Amen.
I'm not worried. Amen. You can run and you can hide.
Come on.
But I'm on it. Jesus, you can't run too far and you can't hide too long. Jesus is going to get you. I can't change his will. That's witchcraft. But what I can do by praying, I make much power or a supply of the Spirit available. Now, what did Paul say? Your prayers makes the supply of the Spirit available, same as James 5:16, so that it will turn to my good or my salvation. So the person still has to say yes.
Yeah.
You're praying for a loved one, an unsaved person, a backslidden husband or whoever, wife, whatever. You can't control them. You can't make them. But your prayers will make tremendous supply and power of God available, and God will integrate that power with their emotions and in a way that they can process it. Because sometimes backslidden or unsaved people don't think the way we do. And so God has to kind of use a different kind of person, maybe not you, to influence them or in their dreams.
Yes.
That's an amazing way that God does it, because their mind is open in their subconscious, and he can get things over in their dreams, or maybe more of a dramatic way, an angel showing up, or he'll use a person, a friend, or maybe even somebody on the internet or so that you'd never expect, and they say something and it sparks something in them. All I'm saying is that supply that has made those things available, God is going to work that out for you. You don't have to worry when or how he does that. You just pray. Because it gives God the ability to do something and to influence. The problem is if you don't pray, the influence of God stops on that person. Now there's devils that are always influencing them. You don't want the devil to have more influence than the Holy Spirit. Your prayers allow the Holy Spirit to continue the influence. But don't try to do his job for him. Don't try to get on that phone and say and start quoting scriptures. Well, you know, you wouldn't be going through this if you just do this and this. That might be true, but that person probably can't receive those words because they don't even believe half of what you say, because they don't have a renewed mind. So instead of talking to them like you talk to a Christian, a brother and a sister that thinks the same way, remember that they don't think the same way. So it's just better that you don't say too much. That's how I've learned it. Unless the Spirit of God says, say this. When he says, say this, then you say it at the time he says it and in the way that he says it. Because you can say it, but in the wrong way and it have the opposite effect. You can say it in the right way, but at the wrong time and it have the opposite effect. But if he doesn't tell you to say something, keep your mouth shut. Can I say something? I don't know why I'm on this. Somebody needs to hear this. That I know all of us have family and extended family, friends that we're believing for, praying for. Listen, one of the greatest ways you show God you trust him is to keep your mouth shut. What I mean is, one of the greatest ways you say, Lord, I'm in faith about my son, for example, is by me not running over there and trying to preach to him. And trying to call him and make him feel guilty. And trying to pressure and trying to say this and trying to say that. Because I raised him the right way. But as he became a man, he has to make his own decisions. But one of the greatest ways I show God I trust him is by me not trying to fix this out of my flesh. I say, you know how to do it. Yeah. You're smarter than me. My job is to pray, make power available. You figure it out, Father. You want me to say something? Tell me and I'll say it. But if you don't, because maybe it won't be received by me, because maybe I'm too close. But you can use anybody you want. And I thank you that because I'm making power available, because I'm making a supply of the Spirit available through my prayers, I expect this to turn to my salvation. I don't know who that's for, but a lot of people praying for people and then they get over in the flesh and try to change that person because they're pushing that person. That's not faith. Faith is, Lord, I trust that you're doing it. If you want me to have a part, tell me. Otherwise, I zip my lip. Prayer will accomplish more than all of your words and your pressing and your accusations and your guilt and your trying to guilt them into doing things. Just pray. And in your praying, we're going to talk about that in a second. But I want you to see prayer is critical because the Word of God here tells us that it's going to give a supply of the Spirit. Now watch verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. In other words, I'm not going to fail in this. Because if all my praying doesn't turn to salvation, doesn't change the situation, then I'm going to look foolish. I'm going to stand ashamed. But he said you won't stand ashamed. Because your praying will make a supply of the Spirit that will cause the situation to turn. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. He said, I will not be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ may be magnified in my body, whether it be by life, or whether it be by death. Now go down, please. So in other words, you have a supply to pray. If you pray, there'll be a supply of the Spirit for your loved ones. If you pray, there'll be a supply of the Spirit for your family, for your finances. If you pray, there'll be a supply of the Spirit for promise of life and for me. If you pray, there'll be a supply of the Spirit which will produce finances in this church. If we pray, there'll be a supply of the Spirit available for Canada, for Trudeau, for those that make decisions. Are you listening? Yes, prayer is something that is so important. Are you with me? You're still with me, right? Yes. Now, verse 27, go down to verse 27, because what I said last week. Also, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. Watch now, that ye, now here's the whole point of the verse, stand fast in one spirit and with one mind. That means in your soul realm, you're in unity, and in the realm of the spirit, you're in unity. Are you with me? Now watch what he said, though. What's going to get you out of unity? What's the beginning of that verse? Only let your conversation be as becometh.
Yeah.
What you talk about is going to get you in or out of unity. What you talk about at your living room, dining room, table after church, thinking nobody hears but God hears. As you criticize me or as you criticize that person, as you whine about this or complain about that, that is not being unified. God knows the way that you keep people together is watch their words. So he says, let your conversation be that be what is becometh as Christ. Let right words come out of your mouth about the vision, about everything to do with the worship changes, to the plane changes, to Oasis changes, to this, that, and the other thing. Let what you say be right, because what you say will determine if you are in one accord and in unity with each other in soul and in spirit. Are you with me? And then what he says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Another way to say that in other translations is in striving together in faith for the gospel. In other words, faith is emphasized. So what did, so I was praying today. Sometimes, you know, it just kind of is all a little bit like dumped on me and I don't always get it out right. But then it's like I sift through it in the week in prayer. And then it's like it becomes more crystal, becomes more crystal than mud. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And I really see what God is trying to say. And sometimes he'll speak more. And this week he said, did you notice that the main words in this thing that I'm emphasizing is prayer, unity, and faith? Because what did he say? Pray. It will produce a supply of the Spirit that things will turn. That I won't be ashamed, but boldly magnify God. But what did it all come back to? Praying. If you don't pray, there can't be a supply of the Spirit. If there's no supply of the Spirit, things can't turn. And then you're going to be ashamed, and then you're not going to boldly magnify God. It all backs up to one statement in those first two verses, prayer. And the Lord said, I'm emphasizing to your congregation the critical value of prayer. You're talking a lot about the supply of the Spirit and things turning and not being ashamed and all that stuff, but it's really... it's about them praying. That's the focus. Sometimes if you say too many words, it confuses people. Now, the next couple of verses that I just read, what is the emphasis? Unity. He said, one mind. Watch your words so that you stay in one mind and one spirit. What's the emphasis? Be very careful what you talk about, because I want this group, Paul said, to be one. He said, Craig, I'm emphasizing unity. And then... so that we may strive in faith for the gospel. He said, I'm emphasizing faith. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Prayer, unity, and faith. And then the next verse, see, when you're doing this, this is going to be the outcome. And in nothing terrified by our adversaries. And believe me, we're not just talking about devils. We're talking about people that are used of devils. And in nothing terrified by our adversaries, which to them is an evident token of their destruction. The fact that you're not afraid of them lets them know they're doomed. You don't have to tell them that they're doomed. You just stand up to them. I'm not afraid of you. I've got God. I've got prayer. I've got unity. And I've got faith. And you can't touch us. Do you understand? It's a token. It's a proof to them. They're not going to make it. But to you, the salvation that is of God. Your fearlessness is an evident token to you. It's a proof to you that God is going to turn this to your good. And God's going to deliver us. Now, I got a little heated last week because of the sobriety I felt about these announcements and about criminalizing laws being passed. It's already passed one. I've talked to a lawyer this week, and they've confirmed that it's already passed the first hearing, that it's the most serious breach in Canadian history for the Christian church. And I do not understand why there's not more talk about it in the churches. But people are starting to speak up, and watchdog organizations are starting to speak up, and we really need to pray.
Yes.
Because This is what he's emphasizing, prayer, unity, and faith. It can turn anything so that we are not terrified of our adversaries. I kind of got a little bit heated that. That was more of an emphasis last week. But the Lord said something to me. He said, these are the words that I'm focusing on, son. Prayer, which is the first two verses. Unity and faith, which is the last two verses from Philippians 1. So I thought, well, that spells puff. Because that's the way I think, Rob. I have to remember things. And then I thought, Puff Daddy, I'm their daddy. Now, I actually don't even know who that is. I actually don't even know who that is. And I think that they're a bad person. Is that right?
Immoral.
Okay. But I thought to myself, well, I'm a Puff Daddy. And then I thought, because that's probably bad, maybe I'm Puff the Magic Dragon, but I think that's about dope and something or something. I don't know. So we can't find any word for puff that has any good connotation. Puff candy? Puff pastry? Puff pastry. I'm just trying to get you to memorize the word puff, all right? Whatever I have to do to get you to memorize it, I'll get you to memorize it, but we are puffs. That doesn't sound good, but we are in prayer, we are in unity, and we are in faith. Now listen, the same way that he came on me in Barbados, he came on me this week. And he said, son, pay attention. I gave you three statements from Hebrews. I'm trying to get something to your church. And now I'm giving you three statements from Philippians. I'm trying to get something to your church. Now, both the one in Hebrews and the one in Philippians both have faith. Hold fast your confession of faith. Yeah. Now he's saying striving in faith for the gospel.
Yes.
So there is an emphasis on faith that we all need to start paying attention on. Listen to me. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
You need to listen. You really need to listen to me right now. I'm going to be preaching on it, but you also need to not wait for me to preach on it.
Yes.
You need to start finding some of your old books on faith by people like Brother Hagin or other of the ministers that we respect and trust, and just read them again. Yeah. You need to find some old messages that I've preached or Pastor Nancy has preached on faith. You just type in Pastor Nancy faith, and there'll be a whole bunch of different things that she's preached. I just need you, don't wait for me to preach it. I need you to start sharpening your blade, your faith blade. Just start sharpening that blade. Because God has been dealing with me. He said, son, I can't get over to where I need this church to go if they're not in faith. And you think, well, I'm in faith. Well, there's a salvation kind of faith, but then there's other kinds of faith. It's not just getting saved. It's faith for growth. It's faith for your finances. It's faith for your mortgage to be paid off. It's faith for healing. It's faith for this budget in this church. It's faith is our currency of heaven. It's the coin. You've got to keep the blade sharp. It's the only thing that pleases God, according to Hebrews 11:6. So both let us hold fast our confession of faith and striving in faith. He said, did you notice there's a parallel there? I'm saying the same thing in both of these statements. I said, Lord, I didn't see that. He said, I know, that's why I'm talking to you. And then he said, did you notice that the prayer in Hebrews is referring to intimacy? That's vertical. But the prayer in Philippians, it's still prayer. Because he said, your prayers will make a supply of the Spirit. But he said, this is horizontal. He said, it's still the subject of prayer. But one, I'm trying to say to them, emphasize your relationship with me, just intimacy with God, drawing near to him. But the other part, the other flip of side of that prayer coin is you've got to start praying using your faith for the ministry and for your life and for our nation. In other words, faith and prayer has to be made horizontally for all these problems. Can you see what I'm saying? There is a this kind of praying and there's a this kind of praying. Listen to me. If you only ever pray like this, but you don't ever pray like this, you are in an imbalanced prayer life. It's not only the intimacy, although that is by far the most important. But once you've got that and you have developed and you continually daily develop that intimacy, he also expects you to now start going from a vertical to a horizontal prayer life and saying, now, Lord, I pray for that situation and it will turn. Now I release my faith and prayer for that situation and it will turn. Now I say, devil, take your hands off that. See, that's all. You're praying out the plan. It can't just be Jesus, I love you, sweet Jesus, I love you. Although that is the most important. But you've got to go from there into machine gun, war. Are you listening? But some people, Sandy, only pray. I release my, and that's good. I'm praying and I release my faith and I'm praying and I'm dealing with that and I'm praying and I'm dealing with that. But they never talk to him. Papa, I love you today. I need you and I worship you. See, that's the Hebrews kind of intimacy. But the Philippians is praying that God's power will change things. Can you see both have prayer? One has a vertical angle, one has a horizontal angle, but both have prayer. Both have faith. Are you with me? Now, look at the third aspect. He says, consider each other gathering and loving and encouraging each other. And what does this one say? I want you to watch your conversation about each other so that you are unified in mind and spirit. He's saying the same thing in different words. He's talking about unity. Gather together to stay in unity. Gather together to exhort, Hebrews. Think about each other. Provoke each other to love and good works. What's it all about? The church and all of this gathering. No, what does he say in Philippians? I need you to be gathered and unified. Do you see he's saying the same thing in a different way? In Hebrews, he's talking about prayer. He's talking about faith. And he's talking about the local church and loving each other and being in unity. And in Philippians, he's talking about another type of prayer. He's talking about faith. And he's talking about loving the local church and staying in unity. I didn't see that till this week. He said, I'm saying the same thing to you in a different way. And the people are not getting it. He said, explain it simply to them, son. I am emphasizing the critical importance of their prayer life to me and their prayer life to situations. I am emphasizing they've got to sharpen the faith blade and start using it. Amen. And I'm emphasizing they've got to love each other, watch their words about each other, don't forsake the gathering. In other words, show up physically, encourage each other, bless each other, and stay in unity. Amen. Because if we don't have unity, the prayer is not going to work right. If we have faith, but we don't have prayer, you've got to have all three things in a balance. You can't have the first two. You can't have prayer and faith, but don't have unity. And you can't have unity and prayer, but not faith. And you can't have faith and unity, but not prayer. He said, I'm trying to get something to your church. I need you to say it in very simple language. Show them the parallel between Hebrews 10 and Philippians 1. I'm trying to say something. Do you understand how important what I'm saying to you is? This is not your pastor speaking. God Almighty is trying to get something over to this congregation. And he's trying to emphasize this thing, prayer, vertical, horizontal. It's got to have first place. Faith. It's you got to start actively, aggressively, intentionally using it.
Amen.
And if you and I'm going to get to it, but I only get to you so many times. So you got to start listening to some of your old faith material and sharpening that blade again.
Yeah.
And unity. Watch what you talk about each other. Just put a little guard over your mouth.
Yes.
You know, Job said, I make a covenant with my eyes. How can I look lustfully upon a young woman? Well, some of you men need to make a quick covenant with your eyes. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
Don't look lustfully.
No, that's right.
You can make a covenant with your eyes.
Yeah.
Hey, eyes, I don't permit you.
Right.
You know you can make the same covenant with your mouth?
Yeah.
I make a covenant with my mouth that I will never speak about my brothers and sisters in a derogatory way,
yes.
In a gossiping way,
yes.
In a judgmental way.
Yes.
Oh, can you see what she was wearing? You're a carnal bucket. I don't really like sitting that back there, person, because, you know, they don't have the same color of skin as me. You're a double carnal bucket. Talking about the vision. Well, I don't really care what he said. I just prefer the old worship leader. Carnal. If you keep talking this way, you will hurt the unity of this church. Just love each other. And go out of your way to tell people what you like about them instead of what you don't like about them. Find something good to say. I know that's a very simple statement, but it's so important. Just love each other. Hallelujah. He said to son, focus on these things. Prayer, unity, and faith. Both November and February, or March now, or March. November and March, I'm saying the same thing in different ways, but your congregation's not getting it. Make it simple. Simple for them to hear and understand. Now, what are the Pauline prayers? We're going to talk about faith a little bit more later, another day. But what are the most important? There's nine kinds of prayer. But what is the most important kind of prayer you can pray in English? Well, you need to pray and deal with things by the Spirit, you know, in English. Lord, I deal with that. I pray about that. But I want to emphasize these things to you because a lot of people know about it, but they don't do it. Pauline prayers, that's not a girl named Pauline. This is Paul's prayers, but they call them the Pauline prayers in the epistles. Okay, the epistles is not the wife of the apostle. Because people have asked me that. No, Jenny is not an epistle because I'm an apostle. An epistle are letters written to the church. And Paul prayed for these churches, so it's the Pauline prayers in the epistles. There's four of them, and I want you to take a picture of the screen so that you can look them up. You can look at our different translations. But Ephesians 1, I cease not to give thanks for you. Paul's praying. We need to pray this over myself. You need to pray this over me, over yourself, over your children. You know, you can just say it once and name all these people, but if you pray it multiple times, it's better. But not religiously, but pray and release your faith when you're praying this prayer, because these Pauline prayers will bring revelation to people. It will settle and ground people. I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, that is to know the mind of God, and revelation in the knowledge of him, that is to know the word of God, that the eyes of your understanding that's in their soul realm would be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope, that they would know what God's will is for them. What is the hope of their calling, what they're supposed to do, who, you know, and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all. See, as you're praying this, you're going to get revelation yourself. That I'm seated far above. Jesus was seated far above all principality, power, might, dominion, every name that is named. If you've got headaches, that's a name. Not only in this world, but also that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet. Now listen, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church.
Yes.
We are the church. He is the head, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Amen.
That is one of the major Pauline prayers that you should pray over yourself every day. And you should pray over your loved ones. You should pray over the congregation. You should pray specifically over myself and my wife, because this will produce great revelation, great revelation. I add on Ephesians 2:6. It's not technically a part of it, but I add on to it. And he has raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Because it's talking about the body which fills all in all, which is the church. But I always like to remind myself that he's raised me to sit. So I add that verse in there. Go to the second Pauline prayer, which is Ephesians 3. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, all of those are preliminary words, now's the meat, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
You,
your spirit's got to stay strong.
Yes.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love. This is the unity. This is the love walk.
Yes.
That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, depth, and height. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I mean, that statement alone blow your brains out.
Yes.
How could you be filled with the fullness of God? You'd explode. But he's saying that you would be filled. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us, he'll do it according to the power. If you don't have much power, he can't do much exceeding abundantly. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's a second prayer to pray every day. In fact, you should just memorize them so you don't have to look them up. Go to the third one, please. And that's in Philippians 1, 9 to 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. There's the unity in the love walk again. That you may approve things that are excellent. Now, we should really put it in the other translation, because the other translation says it better. In the Greek, it means sense what is vital. And everybody needs to start sensing what's vital. That you may sense what is vital, that you may be sincere. We don't want hypocrites. And that you may be without offense. Oh, unity, love walk, a lack of offense. What's the number one reason people leave the church? Offense. If there was more unity, there would not be less offense. That you may prove things which are excellent, sense what is vital, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, people living clean. which are by Christ Jesus unto the glory and praise of God. The last Pauline prayer is Colossians 1, 9 to 14. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. See, yes. We need to pray that we would know his will. That our pastor would know his will. Yes. That our children would know his will. In all wisdom, that's the mind of God, and spiritual understanding. That you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Unto all patience with long suffering and joyfulness. My God, there's so much in there. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, not will deliver us. The more you pray this, when you're in bondage, when you're in torment, when you're in sickness, you will start to get a revelation. I've been delivered. Who has delivered us, past tense, from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Even the forgiveness of sins. Get you out of sin consciousness and into righteousness conscious and thinking and meditating on the blood more. These are four prayers, my brother. You should say, what do we pray? Pray as the Spirit of God leads you, but make sure you pray these Pauline prayers over yourself, your family, the church, your pastors. And it doesn't take that long. It just takes discipline to just say these prayers. And if you've memorized them, and you need to memorize them. Then as you're driving, you can just say them. You don't have to look at your phone or your Bible or your pad. Do you understand? You need to get into the habit of praying it. Dad Hagen said when he prayed these prayers for 9 months, the greatest revelations he's ever got, which he preached for the next 60 years, came out of praying these prayers. Revelation comes when you pray these prayers. What's the second thing that you need to pray out of the 9 prayers? Is all different kinds of prayer, but I'm just emphasizing 2. Praying the Pauline prayers is so important, and praying in the Spirit is so important. Yes. 90% of my praying is done in tongues. Yeah. Dad Hagen said the same thing. He said, most of my praying is done in tongues, but it's not just straight tongues. Tongues has a flow to it. I'll be praying in tongues, and then the Spirit of God will prompt me, and then I'll start praying in English, using my faith and authority and dominion to deal with something, or to say something, or to decree something, and then I'll go back into tongues, and then I'll go back into English. It's a rhythm. It's a flow. It's not just a legalism, praying in tongues, and that's it. There's a moving of the Spirit, but most of it is by the Spirit, tongues, and then you interject English as he prompts you. But then there's other times where you should just pray in English, where you're dealing with things, and especially the Pauline prayers. Listen, we could spend hours talking about prayer. You know, I've done a whole Bible school course for 8 different Mondays, 3 hours each Monday, about prayer, and I still didn't get everything covered. It is a massive, massive subject. We can't talk about it in one service. I'm just saying God is emphasizing prayer, yes. Unity, yes. And faith. We need to start topping up our cups on these 3 things. Prayer, start praying these prayers and start praying in the Spirit more. Just start there. Don't worry about all the other doctrine and all the other prayers. Just start where you're at. And start sharpening your faith blade and start meditating and listening to old sermons on faith. And we'll talk more about that in the future. And unity, watch how you talk about each other. Find a way to encourage each other and stay in the bonds of love and unity. Please, please consider one another. Provoke each other to love and good works, not offense. If we can just, he's emphasizing these 3 things, honey. Prayer, unity, and faith. We're puffs. That doesn't sound good. Prayer, unity, and faith. I'm just trying to get you to remember. Yeah. I'm not trying to be funny. You can call me Puff Daddy if you want. That's okay. I'm sure he's an ungodly man, but I'm a godly Puff Daddy. I'm a godly Puff Daddy. Just, that doesn't sound right either. Nothing sounds right when I make the acronym, but I'm just trying to get you to remember prayer, unity, and faith. And this is the order that Philippians lists them in: prayer, then unity, and then faith. Do you understand?
Yeah.
I love you so much. Thank you for worshiping today. Thank you for being honorable. Thank you for showing up. You're very special to the plan of God. Hallelujah. Just want you to know that our little trainer plane has sold and that the check is in the mail already, and we made more money than we paid for it.
Amen.
So nothing was lost. Hallelujah. And we found the best broker in Canada to sell the big plane. And we were told 20% commission, which is massive. That's a lot of money. And once you sign with them, you can't get out for a certain number of months. And if you sell the plane separately, you still have to pay them the commission. And all these limitations. But God brought us such an amazing broker. I'm just telling you a little praise report. And they said 6%. And if you don't, we don't sell it for what we think, we'll lower that. And it's an open contract. You can get out anytime you want. And if you sell it on your own, don't pay us a penny. And as a bonus, they said, we know a lot of people looking for hangers. Would you like us to help you? And I said, yes, please. And they said, we'll sell your hanger too. So God is so, that angel went before us, I'm telling you, and just opened that up. And so we are, like, that is divine. You have no idea how divine favor that is and how much money that saves us. So that starts next week. They're driving up to Toronto because they're in another part of Canada and about 45 minutes away. And they're taking pictures of the hangar. They're taking pictures of the plane. And they're gonna have this done in no time. Yeah. Praise God. We also signed the paperwork for an excellent agent. The agent that sold Oasis to us knows every inch of that property back to front. Why get a new agent when one agent knows everything about the property? And she told us what to sell it for. And it is, if we can sell it for that, we will make a good profit on that. And she has listed it officially this week. It is now officially up for sale. And she said there are people looking for properties like yours. So we don't know how long that'll take. We might have it another year. We might. But I just want you to know that, you know, that property, I believe there was a plan for it. But if people don't get behind that plan, it becomes a burden instead of a blessing. And God doesn't want any burdens on us as we move forward. So that's why we're removing that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Things are happening. There's other updates I could give you, but I won't give you now. But good things are happening. I just love and I bless you all. I just feel so much love for this congregation today, Jenny. I just feel like I wish I could hug every single one of them. Heavenly Father, I bless them. Those watching that couldn't come, for whatever the reason is, Lord, there's no judgment or condemnation on them. It's better that they come, but we understand people have jobs and schedules, and sometimes they're sick or they're incapacitated. Bless them, Holy Spirit, as they're watching. And help them to have a wonderful week. Father, the ones that took the time to dress up, show you honor, and bring their little boy fish and loaves, that represents their money as well as their service in the ministry of helps, as their commitment to the word, their lifting their hands in worship. Lord, they brought us supply today. And I thank you for what was spoken and what was accomplished. Help us remember that we need to keep a very keen, sharp, single eye on prayer, faith, and unity, because you are emphasizing these things in our congregation. Without them, we cannot fulfill the plan. So we thank you that we will do that in Jesus' name. We'll have a wonderful week. There'll be a safe week. Father, I bind any attacks or strategies of hell against any person that you've given me. I shall lose none in Jesus' name. And sickness, I rebuke you. Those accidents, that strategy that is planning to try to cause a problem. See, I see that in the spirit. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I don't know who that is, but I see that demon. He's at work behind the scenes, going to try to cause a car accident. No, no, no. I see you and I rebuke you in Jesus' name, and I commend you to let your hands go off that situation. I thank you, Lord, that we will be divinely safe under the blood. Angels go before us and around us. There will be no accidents this week. There will be no sickness, and they will have the best week that they've had all year, and they will know that they're part of something bigger than themselves, that their little loaves and fishes are not just helping this ministry, but helping the world, and that, Lord, they would feel the love for you, from you, and the love from us. And that you'll bring them back safely next week. And that, Lord, we'll have more testimonies than ever of the increase and the abundance that's coming in all areas of our life. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.